You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Ministry of the Environment and Stats NZ just released Our Air 2024, a three-yearly report featuring data on air pollution levels and its impacts. The report found that while concentrations of various particulates had been reduced and overall air quality in Aotearoa had improved, air pollution had a much greater contribution to diseases and birth defects across the motu than previously expected. I spoke to Dr. Joel Rindelob, a senior lecturer in chemical sciences at the University of Auckland, to discuss the report and the impacts of air pollution on the human body. All right, so a recent report by the Ministry of the Environment and Stats NZ found that concentrations of nitrogen dioxide and fine particulate matter had reduced in the majority of observed areas over the past decade, but that air pollution had a much greater impact on health conditions than previously expected. Can you tell us about why air quality may have improved in certain areas over the past decade?
So, air quality has improved, but it's still not as much as we would want. It's when we're talking improvement, we're not talking much improvement here. In fact, New Zealand is actually well behind other countries when it comes to our relative air pollution and how we regulate it as well.
So is it still important for us to remain vigilant in spite of some improvements to air quality?
Oh, we have a long way to go. I would say we need to be more than vigilant. We need to be proactive on this, especially for a lot of these pollutants like New Zealand. Here at Aotearoa, we don't regulate some of the most dangerous air pollution, even though basically every other developed country does. Like China, for instance, has been regulating particulate matter, the smallest fraction, since 2013. So we're at least a decade behind them.
So can you tell us about specifically which aspects of our laws or regulations fall short when it comes to mitigating air pollution then?
So air pollution is a massive thing here in Aotearoa. In fact, it leads to over 3,200 premature deaths each year, which is more than melanoma, colon cancer, road accidents, and diabetes combined. So this is still a major issue here in Aotearoa. And as I mentioned, we just are not regulating it the way that it is in other countries. We are basically just falling behind. And it's important because regulations for air quality give you some of the biggest bang for your buck as far as legislation goes. In fact, for every dollar that you usually spend on regulating air pollution, you actually save about $10 in costs on society. So that's a benefit to cost ratio of 10. Like, where else can you get that kind of return on investment?
Are there any particular groups of people or sections of society that are most likely to be impacted by air pollution?
That is a really good question and something that is an active area of research here in Aotearoa, because what we know from overseas is that those in the lower socioeconomic groups are usually exposed to air pollution disproportionately. And in fact, overseas there are some studies that think that this might actually have a racial component as well, because historic actions from governments can have generational type of effects where it's, you know, blocking off certain areas where people live and then putting them next to industries or large polluting types of facilities. Like, those kind of things can last for generations. So here in Aotearoa, there is concern that that might be the case, where certain racial and socioeconomic groups are disproportionately exposed to harmful air pollution.
And can you tell us about the impacts of air pollution on brain activity in particular?
Air pollution affects your body, man. It messes things up. And so right away you're thinking, okay, yeah, probably lungs, you know, maybe the heart, that makes sense. But air pollution also affects brain and brain development. And if you think about it, when you breathe in oxygen, right, it goes to your lungs, which goes to your heart, which the first place that pumps straight to your brain. Your brain needs oxygen. But if your air pollution, your particles are small enough, they can do the exact same thing. And what we're finding is actually very frightening. So what we're seeing is that since air pollution affects the brain, how we think in development, there are studies that are suggesting that it can affect intelligence levels. So if people are exposed to air pollution growing up, they might have less brain capacity later in life. And so basically what this is telling us is that if we do not address air pollution here in this country, we could literally be making ourselves dumber.
Earlier you mentioned that Aotearoa lagged behind other developed nations when it came to regulating and mitigating air pollution. Could you tell us about some of the measures that other developed nations have adopted that have allowed them to mitigate air pollution more successfully?
So the big thing that Aotearoa needs to adopt at the very minimum is the regulation of PM2.5. That's called particulate matter less than 2.5 microns, so some of the smallest particles out there. Because we know that the smaller the particle, the more likely it's coming from human activities, so things like combustion in here in Aotearoa, so that would be like home heating and exhaust from vehicles. Those are the two big sources that a lot of these studies are looking into as far as health impacts. And we don't currently do that in this country. We don't regulate these super small particles that might have the largest health impacts.
One of the findings of the report was that road and motor transport were one of the largest contributors to air pollution, and in particular, nitrogen oxide contamination. Do you think that some recent government transport policies, such as the new roads of national significance, which aims to construct more motorways across the country, could have an impact on our improvements to air quality?
Well, here's the thing. We need less combustion engines on the road. That is a great way to reduce health impacts from combustion exhaust. So we need better strategies. So things like investing in public transit or train systems or electric vehicles would help. I mean, electric vehicles, of course, aren't perfect. They're still going to have some sort of road pollution as well, but it's a step in the right direction. And right now, further investing in combustion-based vehicles to have more of them on the road, if that's a goal, that basically goes against the health and safety of New Zealanders.
Additionally, is there anything you think needs to be done to address the particulate emissions from the residential energy sector, in particular burning wood in homes?
So that home heating is a major problem in Aotearoa, especially in like the South Island, where based on the geography, like central Otago, for instance, you're going to basically be burning wood and burning coal for heat, and then that smoke just kind of just stays there. It doesn't get flushed out like it might in a coastal area. And so it just builds up and builds up, and that's actually where some of the worst air pollution in the country is. And it's from home heating. And basically any time you have combustion, whether it's from vehicles, whether it's from, you know, that fireplace you have at home or that stove, or if people are smoking a cigarette, that's combustion. We know cigarettes kill you, but we often don't think about how these other types of combustion can also do the same thing.
And lastly, what direction do you think Aotearoa's air quality will go through in the near or distant future?
Well, the good news is that it is trending downward, as in it is getting better, but it's happening slowly. And so I would like to see it happen much, much faster, but currently it looks like that's not going to be the case without some adjustments to our regulation scheme. So it's getting better, but we need to do better.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.